Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, 6th of September. This is Josephine, and your other readers are Samida, Graham and Nicola. The editor this week is Mark. We are all members of Team 5. We are sponsored by Boom Construction, and their message is, we are proud to support Decorum Talking Newspaper. We are a specialist contractor and we pride ourselves on our innovative project solutions and our proactive approach to building and maintaining long-lasting relationships. Contact us by telephone on Hemel 767760 or at boomconstruction.co.uk. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442, unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines. Strong opposition to site for travellers. Reservoir £6 million works. And lights switch off is a dangerous move. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, this is Samida. A planning application to create a traveller's caravan site on land off Swingate Lane in Berkhamsted has sparked strong objections from local residents and councillors. The proposal seeks permission for the change of use of land to accommodate 5 mobile homes. The site sits immediately northwest of the A41 bridge and would be accessed via a narrow single-track road. Objectors argue the scheme represents inappropriate development in the Green Belt, with no proposal to release the land from its current protected status. Concerns have also been raised about the suitability of the access road, which objectors say is not appropriate for the transportation or regular movement of large mobile homes. The application has also been criticised as being potentially contrary to local planning policy. Decorum Borough Council's adopted core strategy policy, which relates to new accommodation for gypsies and travellers, sets out that sites should be located close to facilities and services. Opponents to the plan say the Swingate Lane location does not meet these criteria and would therefore be inconsistent with the Council's policy framework. A number of formal objections have now been registered on the grounds of both principle and practicality. These cover the impact on the openness of the Green Belt, road safety risks associated with single-lane access, and the precedent that could be set for future development in sensitive rural areas. Currently, 156 comments have been received, made by members of the public, all of them being objections. One person said, "The site is within the Green Belt, and that alone should be enough to decline it. But you can also add access via a narrow and already dangerous Swingate Lane and location near primary schools. These sites will require council oversight to ensure strict adherence to any approval. Where are the resources to do this? Please don't destroy Burko anymore." Another added, "I want to object. It is on Green Belt land and therefore the construction of a traveller site is inappropriate. The access to the site is very narrow, down a long narrow lane and not suitable for the extra traffic the site will generate. There are other, more appropriate sites in Decorum."
Hello, I'm Graham. Continuing on, Berkhamsted Town Council has stated that in the absence of the horse sanctuary for which land was originally released from the Green Belt, there are no very special circumstances present to justify the continued release of this site from the Green Belt. It added, "The site was previously deemed unacceptable by the police as a traveller site, as they required more than one access point to the site. The current building and hard standing should be lifted and the site restored to an open field. It was requested that enforcement proceedings be applied to revert the land to the Green Belt. However, Decorum Borough Council's Environmental and Community Protection Team has said it has no objection. But, it added, however, it will be necessary for the developer to demonstrate that the potential for land contamination to affect the proposed development has been considered and where it is present will be remediated. This is considered necessary as the site has had an unknown land use and is proposing a change of use to residential with private gardens. The application is currently under consideration by Decorum Borough Council, which will weigh planning policy, objections received, and the borough's ongoing statutory duty to make provision for traveller sites before reaching a decision. The public can view the application on the planning portal via publicnoticeportal.uk.
Hello, this is Nicola. An Abbots Langley campaigner has accused Hertfordshire County Council of giving up on women's safety after they've decided to turn almost 1,300 streetlights off for part of the night. Bethany Moxon, a Tannerswood Lane resident, has previously called for better street lighting on the street's footpaths, saying the lights only illuminate the road rather than the footpath. But now the council has confirmed that lights in Abbots Langley, including on Tannerswood Lane, Oak Green, Shirley Road and Queen's Drive, are among those that will now be switched off completely between 1am and 5am. Councillor Stephen Giles Medhurst, Liberal Democrat County Councillor for Abbots Langley and Executive Members for Highways, said the move would save the authority £14,000 in yearly energy costs, following a £50 million of cuts from central government, and have a meaningful impact on the environment and the council's budget. Councillor Giles Medhurst said all the affected streetlights in Abbots Langley were on private roads and that the County Council wanted to align the lights with those on other roads. He emphasised that the streetlights affected will stay on until 1 o'clock in the morning and added that lights in alleyways and high visibility locations, such as railway stations, would still be on all night. We're keeping safety at the heart of our approach, with lights at key locations remaining on all night, he said. But Ms Moxon said the county councillor is cutting back on street lighting in an area where women already feel unsafe, and continued, it's callous penny pinching and will leave vulnerable residents less safe at night. We should be increasing street lights, cutting back the foliage that blocks it, and encouraging residents to have more security lights on their homes. But the council is doing the exact opposite. The County Council's decision has also been opposed by Ian Campbell, a Conservative councillor for Abbots Langley on Three Rivers District Council. He said, "Women's safety is raised with me almost every week and it makes me nervous for my wife, our kids and the village's future. Three Rivers and now Hearts Lib Dem leadership are costing Abbots Langley its reputation for safety. Abbots Langley Conservative councillors oppose these changes and will make our village safe again."
Towering cranes, a yellow hydraulic press, and 2,000 steel sheet piles are transforming a reservoir in Tring this summer as the Canal and River Trust and contractors Keir undertake a £6 million safety upgrade to protect the banks of one of southern England's best-loved birdwatching spots. The 200-year-old Willstone Reservoir near Tring is getting a steel curtain wall driven deep into its two clay embankments to create a waterfall seal, with each pile measuring from 9 to 11 metres in size. So far, 450 metres have been done out of 1,350 metres. A seating area is being created at one end, utilising the tops of some of the piles. The work is part of a 15-month programme required under the Reservoirs Act, aimed at future-proofing the site against leaks, droughts and extreme weather. Startops Reservoir at Marsworth is set to be given this protective treatment in the next 2 or 3 years, as there is a leak high up opposite Startop Farm, although this is currently controlled by managing water levels. At Willstone, we're pushing in steel piles that have a Z-shaped interlock, so each clutches the next to make a watertight wall, explains Mark Stevens, project manager for the Canal and River Trust. They are designed to last at least 100 years and protect the embankment where there was potential for leakage, making it more resilient in future. The Trust is using land-based equipment, including a 250-ton crane able to lift over trees and reach down the embankment, and a hydraulic press exerting more than 100 tons of pressure. So the reservoir doesn't need to be drained and can stay full enough to continue supplying water to the canal, reducing stress on fish stocks and keeping the ecosystem intact.
Continuing that story, the works began in June and will continue until March 2026. To accommodate the project, the footpath along the top of the dam has been temporarily diverted through a nearby field, keeping access open to Mead's Farm shop and cafe. The reservoir car park will close in early September for 7 months, and the adjacent road will shut for 4 weeks with a diversion in place. The road may reopen at weekends in this time, and Mead's Farm shop will remain accessible. Mark says the team is working hard to minimise disruption. We've built a special road to support the crane so that it doesn't damage the fields. It will be taken up once the work is complete. And we're doing everything we can to preserve trees and habitats. Once finished, visitors will enjoy a new all-weather footpath on the embankments and improved steps. The reservoir's water levels has naturally dropped during the dry summer months, which coincides with increased canal usage. A siphon outfall upgrade is planned for autumn, requiring slightly lower levels, but the trust has committed to maintaining enough depth to protect wildlife. The Canal and River Trust, a charity, faces growing financial pressure as government grants decline. With climate change increasing the risk of high rainfall events, storms and droughts, public support is more important than ever. It has 74 major reservoirs in its care, and Wilston is among the largest. Built in 1802 to supply water to the Grand Junction Canal, now the Grand Union, via the Wendover Arm, it is now part of Tring Reservoirs Nature Reserve, a site of special scientific interest managed by Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. It's home to mute swans, teal, widgeon, shoveler ducks, corn buntings, and even the occasional visiting seabird like the common scoter. Bird watchers also regularly spot great crested grebes, spot great house martins, wagtails, and cormorants. For updates, visit canalrivertrust.org.uk/Wilston-reservoir-works or call 0303 040 40 40.
Victoria Collins, MP for Harpenden and Berkhamsted, celebrated the launch of the expanded 500 bus service, which began operations on Monday morning following a successful campaign led jointly with neighbouring MPs David Taylor and Laura Kirk-Smith. The expanded service, operated by Red Eagle, provides direct connections between Aylesby, Tring, Berkhamsted and Hemel Hempstead, with buses now running every 30 minutes Monday through Friday, compared to the previous hourly service. The enhanced service comes after months of dedicated advocacy following the cancellation of the popular X5 bus route in May 2025, which had served many residents in the area and was particularly well used during peak times. With the backing of local campaigners, Ms Collins wrote to Hertfordshire County Council to request an update on their proposed actions to address the service gap and work with neighbouring MPs who were also impacted. She also contacted Red Eagle to request that they expand their 500 service during ongoing discussions with the County Council. Working cross-party, Ms Collins, Mr Taylor and Ms Kirk-Smith held an MP constituent forum where residents were able to raise their transport concerns and other local issues directly and continued to press for solutions. Ms Collins said, "Thanks to the brilliant residents who brought this to my attention, we were able to do some real good for the community. After months of campaigning, we have delivered a real result. When the previous service was discontinued in May, we knew we had to act quickly to ensure residents wouldn't be left without reliable public transport connections. I know there's a lot more we need to do to improve local transport and bus services, but this is a great win locally. This shows what can be accomplished when local representatives work together and listen to their constituents' concerns."
Continued, Mr. Taylor said this is excellent news for Hemel Hempstead residents. Reliable public transport is a lifeline for our community, and the decision to increase the 500 service to a 30-minute frequency is a welcome step. This will make a real difference for passengers, helping to reduce crowding, improve accessibility, and better connect residents to essential services and opportunities. I look forward to seeing the positive impact of this change and will continue to champion improved transport links across our town. Upon hearing the news, Ms. Kirksmith said, I'm pleased by Red Eagle's decision to increase the frequency of the 500x500 bus service to every 30 minutes from September. This is good news for residents across Aylesbury and the villages, especially those who rely on the route for essential travel and daily independence. It also makes the 500x500 a more convenient and reliable replacement for the former X5 service, which was sadly scrapped by Arriva earlier this year. I want to congratulate all those who've campaigned tirelessly for improvements to local bus services, including Jessica Mitchell, whose efforts have made a real difference. When I met with Red Eagle back in May, I raised the issue of service frequency directly with them, and it's so brilliant to see they've listened to the concerns of local people and taken action. This is a step forward in making public transport more accessible, reliable and fit for purpose in our area. Thank you to Red Eagle for making these changes to the timetable.
Hertfordshire Constabulary has released details of its operation designed to keep young people safe while they celebrated their A-level results in decorum. The project launched Project Vigilant, which it describes as a scheme to identify and intercept those who may be displaying predatory behaviour in the nighttime economy. By identifying potential predators, it was hoped that the project could protect the public and prevent sexual offences from occurring. Hertfordshire Constabulary deployed specially trained plainclothes and uniformed police officers in public areas outside bars and nightclubs. Undercover police officers integrated themselves among people out partying and then could identify potential offenders, allowing uniformed officers to step in and take action, which in some circumstances could include an arrest. The police force has revealed that examples of the predatory behaviour officers were looking for included sexual comments, inappropriate touching and loitering. Neighbourhood Sergeant Sam Pierce leads Project Vigilant in Decorum. She said, A-level results day traditionally sees young people out celebrating in local pubs and bars. With this in mind, we ran a Project Vigilant deployment in both Berkhamsted and Hemel Hempstead last Thursday night to help ensure that everyone was safe from any unwanted or predatory behaviour. Thankfully, no such incidents were reported to officers on the night. A stop search was conducted after a man was spotted acting suspiciously, but nothing of note was found. Two young people were also taken home as a safeguarding precaution. Tackling violence against women and girls is a key priority across Hertfordshire, and Project Vigilant is an important part of this work. Everyone has a right to feel and be safe during a night out. Hertfordshire Constabulary started using Project Vigilant tactics after piloting the scheme in 2023 in Watford. The scheme was first used in the UK by Thames Valley Police in 2019 and is now used in several towns in Hertfordshire.
New data released by the RSPCA shows that a series of animal beating incidents have been reported in Hertfordshire. Findings released by the animal welfare charity show that a 63% increase in the number of beatings reported across the county. New statistics published by the RSPCA reveals that there have been 243 reports of these incidents in Hertfordshire this summer. This represented double the amount reported in 2020. Analysis from the National Charity states that its call handlers deal with an animal beating report every 15 minutes. The animal welfare charity is raising the alarm around animal cruelty figures to promote its summer cruelty campaign. The RSPCA wants people to be aware that animal cruelty often peaks during the summer months. Across England and Wales, there has been a 105% rise in reports of beatings in summer over the last 4 years, the charity has revealed. Year on year, the number of beating reports has risen by 10%, and the charity is braced for this to continue to climb this summer, a spokesperson for the charity said. Further data published by the charity shows that dogs were the most likely pet to be beaten, with nearly 21,000 dog beating reports made. Ian Briggs, head of Special Operations Unit at the RSPCA, said, "These are really distressing and stark figures. One report of an animal being beaten every half an hour is a horrible thought. But sadly, this is the reality in summer, when our cruelty line receives a beating report every 30 minutes. It isn't clear why there has been such a dramatic increase in abuse against animals, but what is clear is that animals are suffering at the hands of people on a much bigger scale than many people realise. This is why our summer cruelty campaign is so important, to highlight that for thousands of animals, summer is a season of pain and suffering when cruelty peaks. As the RSPCA braces to help tackle animal cruelty, we need your help now more than ever to continue to rescue animals in desperate need of care. We're finding that CCTV footage, doorbell cameras, and smartphones are providing a view into society that we never had before, meaning that animal beatings are more likely to be caught on camera in supermarket car parks, on streets, in lifts, and even behind closed doors in the home, giving us the evidence we need to be able to seek justice for animals like Bella. This could account for the rise that we are seeing, as these awful abusers are more likely to be caught on camera, uploaded to social media, or reported directly to us. Data compiled for the RSPCA's report covers the months of June, July, and August. In total, call handlers from the charity took 34,401 calls relating to animal cruelty in these months last year. The RSPCA says that summer should be a season of joy for animals. Long walks on golden evenings, zoomies on the beach, stretching out in the garden to soak up the sun. But there's a side to summer you don't see. For thousands of animals, it's a season of pain, fear, and suffering when cruelty peaks."
Hertfordshire Community NHS Trust, HCT, is proud to announce that its medical director, Dr. Elizabeth Kendrick, has been shortlisted for the Clinical Leader of the Year at the prestigious 2025 HSJ Awards. This recognition highlights the exceptional work and innovation demonstrated by the team, and a testament to HCT's dedication to driving healthcare excellence. This year's awards attracted more than 1,250 entries from across the health sector, with only 245 projects and individuals making it through to the final shortlist. The competition has been incredibly tough, demonstrating the impressive scale of talent, commitment, and impact across the NHS and wider healthcare landscape. HCT's shortlisted entry, Dr. Elizabeth Kendrick's clinical leadership, was selected following a rigorous judging process and has been recognised as a standout example of excellence in healthcare delivery. Dr. Elizabeth Kendrick, Medical Director at Hertfordshire Community NHS Trust, is a visionary clinical leader who has pioneered proactive models of care that align with the NHS's ambition to shift services closer to home. She has led the development of Hospital at Home in East and North Hertfordshire, proactive care and digital remote monitoring, demonstrating outstanding impact on patient outcomes, system efficiency, and staff engagement. Her leadership has directly contributed to reducing emissions, improving end-of-life care, and tackling health inequalities. Dr. Kendrick's inclusive, evidence-based approach is already delivering the left shift in care and actively shaping the future of NHS service delivery. Winners will be announced at the awards ceremony on the 20th of November at Evolution London. The event celebrates excellence in healthcare, promotes best practice and recognises the people and projects improving outcomes for patients nationwide. For more details on the 2025 HSJ Awards shortlist, visit awards.hsj.co.uk.
Highway officials in Hertfordshire have confirmed they will paint over red crosses representing England flags that have appeared in some streets as part of routine graffiti removal. In recent days, red crosses representing England's flag of St George have been daubed on a number of roundabouts in pockets in the county. Councillor for Officers have now confirmed that the crosses will be removed. However, this will not happen immediately, but rather as part of programmed works. In some cases, it's been suggested that the paint may actually be washed away by rain. In general, the local Democracy Reporting Service understands that any markings that were considered to be offensive or which risk causing confusion for road users would be removed by County Council officials immediately. But in this case, officials say that where they become aware of the unauthorised painting of roundabouts, they will refresh the official road markings as part of programmed works. We regularly fly the Union flag and the flag of St George outside of our offices and recognise their importance as symbols of national pride, said a spokesman for Hertfordshire County Council in response to the inquiry by the LDRS. We also support the right of individuals and organisations to fly these flags on their own property. However, to ensure public safety, we have a policy of not allowing items to be attached to lampposts and other street fixtures we are responsible for without our permission. If our highways team become aware of unapproved items, they will be removed when they are next in the area. If our highways team become aware of unauthorised painting of roundabouts, we will refresh the official road markings as part of programme works. Any markings that are offensive or that risk causing confusion for road users and put people's safety at risk will be removed. Meanwhile, Liberal Democrat leader of the County Council, Councillor Steve Jarvis, said that crosses painted on roundabouts will be dealt with as any other form of graffiti. He suggested they were not an appropriate way to demonstrate national pride. I think it would be better if people didn't paint the roads in that way, in the same way that it would be better if they didn't graffiti in general, he said. I don't think it's an appropriate way to demonstrate national pride, but I think we need to keep it in perspective. It may well wear off. I would rather people didn't do it, and I don't know why they've done it.
Four drug dealers who were part of a network supplying crack cocaine and heroin into Hertfordshire have been jailed. The men, all from Luton, were part of a County Lines drugs gang supplying the Hearts area. Several members of the gang had been busted during a sting in 2022, where mobile phones, blades, Class A drugs and £7,700 of cash were seized. Six have already been jailed in 2023, while four were released on bail. The four men appeared at St Albans Crown Court on August 26th after pleading guilty to conspiracy to supply Class A drugs, crack cocaine and heroin, and were sentenced as follows. Hamza Aftab, aged 25, of Fountain Roads, Luton, was sentenced to 7 years and 7 months. Adib Mohammed, aged 34, of St Winifred's Avenue, Luton, was sentenced to 5 years and 4 months imprisonment, plus 2 months imprisonment for possession of criminal property in relation to the £7,700 cash seized from his address. Mohammed Tawid, aged 22, of Morgan Close, Luton, was sentenced to 2 years and 10 months. Mohammed Sahail Khan, aged 22, of Holwicks Road, Luton, was sentenced to 4 years and 2 months. Detective Sergeant Chris Cowell from Hertfordshire's County Lines Investigation Unit said, Aftab took control of the queue line after other members of the gang were jailed, following an investigation by the County Lines Investigation Unit. We continued to monitor their activities and compile evidence to bring the remaining members to trial. Aftab used a dedicated telephone number to advertise, facilitate the sale of drugs to customers. He would receive orders and then direct Tawid or Can to the waiting customers, where drugs would be exchanged for cash. Mohammed stored drugs, cash and weapons on behalf of the group. County lines drug gangs pose a significant threat to communities, especially young people and those who are vulnerable. We rely on information from the public to be our eyes and ears on the streets. Help us to rid your community of drugs and related crime by reporting information about drug dealing. You can report information about a crime online or speak to an operator in the force communications room via web chat. You can also call the non-emergency number 101. If a crime is in progress, call 999. Alternatively, you can contact Crime Stoppers anonymously on 0800 555 111 or via their untraceable online form at crimestoppers-uk.org.
A large number of UK's small and medium-sized enterprises, SMEs, in Hertfordshire are holding back on investment despite sitting on significant piles of cash. Peter Gallina, UK CEO at International Accounting and Advisory Group, AZETS, says business owners are ready to spend pent-up capital but are paralysed by fear due to geopolitical uncertainty and a lack of clear economic policy. The warning follows the results of the latest AZETS Barometer Spring 2025 survey, which shows UK SMEs citing economic uncertainty, geopolitical instability, and trade tariffs as their top concerns for the next 12 months. When asked about overall risks to their business, a volatile tax landscape and lack of long-term financial predictability were among the top three worries. Higher labour costs was the number one concern. AZETS has an office in Hertfordshire. Peter Gallina said, SMEs across Hertfordshire are asking for clarity from the government around tax policy and long-term economic plans. Without it, confidence to invest simply won't return. Right now, SMEs are treating cash as insurance, not fuel for growth. We are seeing caution override ambition, and that's holding back the UK economy. Despite the challenging outlook, SMEs remain central to the UK economy. They make up 99.8% of all UK businesses, account for 60% of total employment, around 16.6 million jobs, and generate 52% of private sector turnover, around 2.8 trillion. Peter Gallina is calling on the government to listen to SMEs and commit to a long-term economic roadmap that gives SMEs the confidence to plan, invest, and grow. He believes targeted incentives, such as those for research and development and artificial intelligence, would unlock spending and fuel long-term growth. We need to fill and entrepreneurs and business leaders with confidence that investments in growth areas will not be undermined by sudden policy shifts or unexpected regulatory changes down the line, he added. SMEs have the ambition, the policy needs to catch up. According to the AZETS Barometer Spring 2025 survey, only 6% of UK SMEs describe their AI use as advanced. Nearly a quarter, 23%, say they've not adopted AI at all, with a further 25% still in the research phase and 31% only partially adopting it. AI is the game changer, but only if we support SMEs to adopt it. Incentivizing AI adoption isn't just smart, it's strategic. Supporting SMEs to adopt AI will deliver a UK-wide windfall. It's a growth opportunity we cannot afford to miss. SMEs account for 60% of the UK workforce. Backing them isn't a gamble. It's a guaranteed route to economic growth.
A decision to refuse permission for 9 self-build homes near Wilston has been overturned by the Planning Inspectorate. It comes after an appeal from Cedar Strategic Land, whose application to build next to Dixon's Wharf was rejected by Decorum Borough Council last year. Planning permission was refused by the council on the grounds that the new homes would have a poor relationship with Wilstone, would not be sympathetic to its surroundings, and would harmfully detract from the area's established character. But in a decision issued last month, the planning inspector said, "I find the substantial benefits of the scheme, comprising the provision of self-build housing and the various economic, biodiversity and social benefits all taken together, clearly outweigh any harms arising. The site on the corner of Wingrave Road and Tring Road is outside Wilstone itself and is in open countryside. The planning inspector accepted that it was not previously developed land and that the location would conflict with the council's strategy for the location of development. They also recognised that the plans would cause moderate harm to the character and appearance of the area by urbanising it. But they dismissed concerns about the amount of car parking which will be possible at the site and said that given the limited views and into and out of the site, the proposal would not have a significant adverse effect on the rural character of the area. Final plans for the parking and for the buildings themselves will be ironed out in future applications, with the current application being for outline permission only." The inspector said Decorum's supply of deliverable housing sites is very poor at only 1.03 years, well below the expected minimum of 5 years. It means it is currently harder for the council to block new developments with a tilted balance, meaning new homes should be approved unless the harms significantly and demonstrably outweigh the benefits. The inspector also noted that the council currently has a shortfall of 138 self-build plots against demand.
A dog walker was bitten by another man in an alleged Hemel Hempstead assault which took place in a park in broad daylight. The incident has been described by an investigation officer as an awful assault, and one man has been arrested in connection with the police operation. At around 6:20 p.m. on August the 17th, a man was walking his dog in Warners End playing fields. Hertfordshire Constabulary were told that the man, who is in his 60s, was assaulted and bitten by another man and has suffered bruising to his face, arms and neck after the incident. A 49-year-old man from Hemel Hempstead was arrested on suspicion of grievous bodily harm with intent. He has been released on bail while the police force investigation continues. Detective Sergeant Yolanda Morales-Willis, who is investigating, said, "This was an awful assault and I hope the news of an arrest is reassuring. This was an isolated incident between people who are known to each other and there is no wider threat to the public. Our inquiries are continuing at the time and I'm asking anyone with information to please get in touch. Were you in the area at the time and saw what happened, or have you any further information to help our investigation? Please email me via yolanda.morales-willis@hearts.police.uk. Information can be reported to the police force online via its web chat or by calling the non-emergency number 101, quoting crime reference 41-77868-25.
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by What's On, Further News and Sport. There are no obituaries in this week's newspaper. Cancer cases continue to rise. More than 6 million new cases of cancer could be diagnosed in England between now and 2040. In the 1970s, cancer diagnosis rates were baselined. A person was diagnosed with cancer every 4 minutes. In 2024 to 2025, 28 diagnosis improvement. 95,000 more people were diagnosed or ruled out within 28 days. By 2029, the waiting times target, the government aims to meet all cancer waiting times. By 2040, projected cancer cases, 6.3 million cancer cases are expected, one every 2 minutes. Projected cancer cases by regions, 2024 to 2040. In the southeast, 1 million. In the northwest, 865,000. In the east of England, 722,000. In the southwest, also 722,000. And in London, 714,000.
This week in history, September 6, 1966, Hendrik Verwoerd, South African Prime Minister since 1958, was assassinated in Parliament in Cape Town by Dimitri Savvandis. September 7, 1986, Bishop Desmond Tutu was appointed Archbishop of Cape Town, the first black head of South African Anglicans. On this day last year, Vaughan Gething, the Labour former First Minister of Wales, who stood down following a series of scandals, announced he would not seek re-election for the Senate. September 8, 1966, the Severn Bridge was officially opened by the Queen. September 9, 1963, Scotland's Jim Clark became the world's youngest motor racing champion. September 10, 1965, Yale University published a map purporting to show that the Vikings discovered America in the 11th century. On this day last year, a coroner ruled the Jeremy Kyle Show's treatment of Steve Diamond was not a contributory factor to his death, as the ITV presenter said he felt exonerated by the finding. Mr. Diamond from Portsmouth, Hampshire, took his own life 7 days after filming for the Jeremy Kyle Show in May 2019.
The Denton in Berkhamsted is opening its doors to the community on 17th September for a special celebration event with a health and wellbeing theme, curated especially to inspire and energise local people aged 65 plus. The event offers a thoughtfully planned, fun programme of seminars, workshops and stallholders for people of all levels of health and ability, with a focus on nutrition, mobility, mental well-being and overall wellness. Visitors can register to attend for part or all of the day. The event is free to attend. Refreshments and light bites will be provided. For details of full timetable as they become available and to reserve a place, register your interest by emailing foh.thedenton@elysianresidences.com or calling 01442 946 738. The Denton is located off Shooters Way, Berkhamsted, HP4 3NG. The Denton is a unique, beautifully designed residence with distinct, spacious and future-proofed apartments to choose from and own. A restaurant, bar and gym, as well as other experiences and amenities, are available for residents to use as little or as much as they wish. Support and security is provided 24 hours a day with a maintenance team and flexible care options if they are ever needed.
From every cuppa we make to every shower we take, it's easy to forget just how much water we use around the home in a single day. It's probably a bit more than you think. Affinity Water is committed to keeping life flowing, providing 950 million litres of water each day to 1.4 million people across the southeast, equivalent to nearly 400 Olympic-sized swimming pools. It's also true that the region uses more water than the national average, and growing demand is draining supplies fast. But there's plenty of easy changes you can make that could cut the amount of water you use and start saving your money too. Affinity Water's online My Water Footprint quiz is a quick way to find out how much water you're using, and it only takes a minute to complete. Then you'll be able to get water saving advice tailored to you and access free water saving devices and exclusive giveaways through monthly challenges. Here are some simple hacks to get started and help you reduce water waste and cut costs around the home, from the kitchen and bathroom to your outdoor areas. Grow your savings in the garden. Save 800 litres per hour by watering your garden with a watering can instead of a hose, or considering use a trigger hose so water only flows when you need it. You can also reduce water loss to evaporation by watering your plants early in the morning or evening and save up to 200 litres by using a water butt or collect rainwater from your garden. Save money when you shower. You can save up to 30 litres per shower just by cutting your time down by 2 minutes. Fitting a low flow shower head can also save 90 litres per shower without sacrificing pressure. Save another 24 litres a day by turning off the tap when you brush your teeth and 3 litres per flush by using the small button on a dual flush toilet. Cut costs in the kitchen. You can save a whopping 50% of water use simply by washing up in a bowl instead of a running tap. Save 20 litres by washing all of your fruit and veg in one go rather than as you need them, and only use the dishwasher when it's full and on its eco setting. Save up to 10 litres more a day by keeping a jug of water in the fridge instead of running the tap until cold, and consider watering plants with leftover water from glasses, water bottles and washing up. And looking out for little leaks. Affinity Water customers can book a free leak visit with the company's expert plumbers on hand to fix common household leaks on toilets, taps, isolation valves, compression fittings and flexible pipes. Whether it's a minor drip or more serious, they're ready to step in. Use the look and listen checklist on affinity.co.uk/home leaks to help you spot leaks early. And if you're not covered by the free leak visit service for any reason, Affinity Water can provide a list of approved local plumbers from across the South East who can help you.
We really like talking about the weather. How about this weather at the moment? Oh, it's a hot one today. Looks like it will rain later. These are all conversations that us Brits have a lot. In fact, Met Office research has revealed that, on average, we spend 56.6 hours chatting about the weather every year. That's nearly 2.5 days. Nearly half, 43% of us, use the weather as an icebreaker to start conversations, and 4/5 of us check the forecast daily. The weather has been a big talking point this summer. It's on track to go down as the warmest summer on record, with the average temperature between 1st of June to 17th of August being 1.5 degrees centigrade higher than normal.
Snacktember kicks off. The British Nutrition Foundation has launched Snacktember, a month-long campaign to help children and young people make and choose healthier, more sustainable snacks. The goal is to encourage snacks with more fruit, vegetables, whole grains, beans and pulses, and fewer snacks that are high in saturated fat, salt and sugar. Head to nutrition.org.uk/snack-tember-2025 to find out more and sign up for resources.
And now for What's On. Tickets to the Phantom of the Opera sequel in cinemas are on sale now. The spellbinding sequel to The Phantom of the Opera, Andrew Lloyd Webber's Love Never Dies, comes to UK cinemas from Sunday, 21st of September. The greatest love story of all time continues in this production, starring Ben Lewis as the Phantom and Anna O'Byrne as Christine Day, and featuring a 36-strong cast, 300 exquisite costumes and a breathtaking score performed by a 21-piece orchestra. Hemel Hempstead audiences will be able to catch what has been described as one of the greatest of all Andrew Lloyd Webber musicals by The Telegraph at Cineworld Hemel Hempstead. A decade has passed since the Phantom vanished from the Paris Opera House. Now he haunts the dazzling fairgrounds of Coney Island, surrounded by the spectacles and strangeness of a new world, but still yearning for one thing, Christine. As fate draws her back into his orbit, a new tale of passion, obsession and heartbreak unfolds. For screenings and tickets, www.cinemalive.com/movie/love-dies.
In the theatre, The Lightning Thief, Milton Keynes Theatre, from September the 3rd to the 7th. When 16-year-old Percy Jackson discovers he's the half-blood son of the Greek god Poseidon, his life takes a dramatic turn as he's plunged into a world much bigger than he could have imagined. The future of the world hangs in the balance as Percy and his friends embark on an epic adventure played out to an electrifying rock score. Over the past 20 years, Percy Jackson has become a nationwide phenomenon. First, there was a best-selling series of books by Rick Riordan, then two hit films and a Disney TV series. Visit atgtickets.com/Milton Keynes to book. And for music, Simon and Garfunkel, Through the Years, Grove Theatre, Dunstable, September the 5th. Performing against a backdrop of striking imagery, the duo bookends bring the unmistakable sound of the American folk rock greats to the stage. Call 01582 602080 to book.
Theatre. Austin's Women, Lady Susan, Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, September 10th. Meet Devil May Care Lady Susan, the coquettish black widow, hunting down not one but two fortunes. Oppressed, rebellious daughter Frederica, long-suffering sister-in-law Catherine, family matriarch Mrs. De Courcy, and insouciant best friend Alicia. The darkly comic tale of society and the women trapped within it, based on Jane Austen's first full-length work from 1794, is presented by the venue's award-winning in-house company, Dyad, performed by Rebecca Vaughan and directed by Andrew Mardrison. Visit oldtownhall.co.uk or call 01442 228091 to book or to look for more information. Music. Sarah Garrett Recital Series, Tom Wimpany, Old Saints Church, Berkhamsted, September 7th, 2:30 p.m. Enjoy a varied programme from Tom Wimpany, whose illustrious career includes playing for many great state occasions as sub-organist at St. Paul's Cathedral. Admission free.
Friday, 12th September, Basil Brush Unleashed. Showbiz legend, national treasure, Fox. Join Basil in Hemel Hempstead as you have never seen him before in his adults-only show. Joined by sidekick Mr. Martin and a very special guest, you can be guaranteed a night like no other. Doors and bar open 7 p.m. Fun begins 8 p.m. at the Boxmoor Playhouse, St. John's Road, Hemel Hempstead. Hemel, get ready for a hullabaloo on Saturday, 13 September, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. with music, food, and fun for the whole family. Enjoy live music, a charming steam train, free arts and crafts, free face painting, and delicious food stall. Hemel Town Centre by the Marlowe's, parking available, disabled access available. Ashridge Garden Party is a firm favourite in our events calendar. If you're looking for some family fun on Sunday, 14 September, Ashridge House is the place to be. Gates are open from midday to 5 p.m. This year sees the return of our circus skills, craft activities and dog show. And if that wasn't enough, we've also got face painting and sand art, not forgetting the Pimp's Tent, our shop local village, and an impressive array of food stalls, including our amazing cream teas. Head to our website to book your tickets now. stfrances.org.uk/events/fundraising/the-garden-party. £8 adults, £4 child, under threes and carer, free of charge.
Hemel Hempstead Cricket Club's third 11 secure promotion with a scrappy win over Cheshunt Rosedale. Winning the toss and putting 8th place Cheshunt into bat and bowling them out for 83 in 29.2 overs, you would think all in order. Callum Humphrey led the bowling with 6 for 20 from his 8 overs to shine on his season-long bowling performance. But Hemel then struggled to a match-winning score of 87 for 7 in 41 overs, making it look more difficult than perhaps it should have been. Matt Petrel with 16 was the top scorer, which says it all. But they got over the line to secure promotion from Division 6A. Elsewhere, the dreaded rain and Duckworth Lewis Stern did for Hemel first team as they went down to a defeat at Redbourne. Batting first, Hemel made 269 for 7 from their 50 overs, which you would have thought would be sufficient. Skipper for the day, Brett Penny, made 44, then Tom Elborn held it together with 79, 6 fours and 1 6 from his 136 balls, and Freddie Lowe smashed 62, 4 fours and 5 sixes from his 58 balls. Hemel chased wickets as the weather closed in. Redbourne opener Ed Hales kept them in it with 106, 19 fours and 2 sixes from 76 balls. Ed Pike with 2 for 41 was the only one of the 8 Hemel bowlers to take more than one wicket. Weather meant Redbourne had a revised target of 222 from 39.2 overs, which they made with 235 for 7. Hemel seconds, chasing the wind to keep them in the promotion picture, came unstuck as they lost their penultimate game to 8th place Chipperfield, who did the double over them. Batting first, Hemel were bowled out for 122 in 35.3 overs, with Tom Waterton top scoring with 35. Never enough, as Chips made 125 for 5 from 26 overs. Ed Langley returned 3 for 16 from his 7 overs bowled.
Lee Allinson was proud of his Hemel Hempstead Town side's all-round display as they saw off Torquay United 2-1 at home on Saturday. Miller Matthew Lewis scored both goals, the second one late on, to mean Hemel was in fifth spot going into Tuesday night's home game with Elbsfleet United, played after this week's Gazette went to press. Speaking to the club's media after Saturday's win, Allinson said the performance was exactly what he wants from his team. He said it was our best performance of the season and everything we wanted from the group we got. I thought it was even better than against Dagenham last week. I thought we were dominant throughout. Yes, there's going to have spells. It's Torquay United, but you look at the difference between now and when they played us in April. This group epitomises everything I want in my football club and my team in terms of the energy, the work rate and the desire. And I thought we played some great stuff as well. Some of the moves are really good and it was the first time I feel that we've seen that this season. So to win a game against a team like Torquay is a great result. It was thoroughly deserved and I'm really pleased with the 3 points. Allinson was also pleased to have again gone head-to-head with the full-time side, having come close to getting a result at Dagenham and Redbridge on Bank Holiday Monday. He said, "I think a bit more was made out of Monday than it was. We had to make changes, and hindsight is a wonderful thing, but you have to make decisions on the day. But what nobody realises is that the second half we had 73% possession on Monday and 63% over the whole 90 minutes, and that shows where the group are. So I think with the energy and fitness levels we've got, we'll compete with anyone. And what we have to do is put the ball in the net a little bit more, because we've had 3 or 4 glorious chances today and we've not hit the back of the net, but that will come." After Tuesday's game, Hemel are back on the road at Eastbourne Borough on Saturday.
In basketball, Hemel Storm have made several new signings ahead of the new season. Guard Danny Evans is among those to have joined. He began his career with professional Spanish side Basquet L'Hospitalet, then moved on to fellow LEB silver team Villarrobelo, where he averaged 11.7 points and 4.3 rebounds. That earned him his first crack at top-flight British basketball, signing for Cheshire Phoenix ahead of the 2022-23 campaign. Evans, who spent his earlier years as a scholar in America, captaining Phillips Academy and finishing his college career by winning a conference championship with St Anselm, has gone on to a spell in France with Rennes and is now ready for the fresh challenge that awaits him in Hemel. Also signed is 6'4" American guard Matt Norman, who most recently suited up for the NBA G League side Texas Legends. Prior to that, Norman spent the 2023-24 campaign with BC Ivirioni Gori in the Georgian Super League, having had the previous 2 years at the University of North Dakota. Kai Walker is heading to the Storm Dome from MK Breakers. He first burst into the British basketball scene with Team Solent Kestrels, spending 4 seasons on the coast before moving to the Thames Valley for the 2023-24 campaign. Meanwhile, Jarvis Chater will return for his 3rd year at the club. Chater initially joined up with the squad in February of the 2023-24 campaign and has already picked up league and playoff winners' medals.
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 06:23 and 19:37. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the Talking Newspaper skill." Alexa will ask you which broadcast you want to listen to. When prompted, reply, "Play the Decorum Talking Newspaper." This part can be tricky. If Alexa offers the wrong station, just say no and then try again. For those who are listening to this week's news via a memory stick, after the music, there is the amenities section that gives details of various groups and the contact details of organizations. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Martin, your technician for this week. Goodbye.